to the Mint Condition Comic Connoisseurs, our very first episode. Welcome, everyone. We have here Ivan.
What's up?
And Ben Rambo Morgan.
Yo, yo.
And Eric Bazan.
Hello.
And me, Sarah Bazan. Welcome, everyone.
Wow. All right, man. This is a
our first comic book podcast. And like Rambo said, it's going to be the best one ever.
I certainly hope so, and I hope everyone enjoys the show. We're going to be reviewing. Comic books here, and we welcome suggestions. And I mean, we're comic book lovers, and we hope that you'll join us and enjoy the show.
Right, we're all about comics. We just we like to read, we like to collect. I mean, we're just all about it.
I was telling Ben the other day. I was like, yeah, he's getting a pretty popular with his reviews. He's all over the place. He's across the board.
Ben is all over the place, man.
I'm only here to learn, though. Let's get that straight.
Soon, the student will become the master.
That's what I'm planning.
All right, guys.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't want to jump in, but do you guys want to... this is the first time everybody's listening to us. Do you want a little intro and maybe your what kind of comics you like and superhero, whatever you like? Go ahead, sir.
Perfect idea. I love comic books. I started reading Sandman, and of course Neil Gaiman's one of my favorite writers. And then my dream job of all time was to work for a comic book store, which they never hired me, although I applied like 70 times. And then I was just, then I started working for Diamond Comics, books and distributors, which was like fantastic, although the job sucked really much. But I was able to collect many comic books, and ever since then I've just... try to open my horizons to other things and comic book related. I go to Comic Con almost every year, so best thing ever. How about you guys?
Oh, well, me. I'm all over the place with comics, man. I enjoy a very good story every now and then, and that's what I'm looking for. I don't look for the art. I don't look for any of that. I just want a very good, solid, good story. Some that's pretty good, pretty easy to follow, but also very kind of. Will surprise you. I'm all over the place. DC. I'm a Marvel fan. No prejudice to either one. I mean, I'm all over the board.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
Well, because man, you're all DC. You know, you're all like Batman. This and yeah, sure. I'm a Batman. Because
Batman.
But I'm a Superman man. And I'm an X-Men fan. So cool. I'm all over the place. Ben.
I started off as a Marvel geek when I was very young. Spider-Man, X-Men, all the generic stuff. Really got into the X-Men Phalanx series where Wolverine lost his adamantium. And then I got into horror comics like Crossed. And recently, I know this is really, really bad, discovered Alan Moore. And that's what got me back into comics in a big way. And now I'm rediscovering DC, rediscovering the good Marvel stuff. So basically, I'm basically starting again from this point onwards, which is why I'm sitting in an amazing podcast with three people that know a shitload more about comics than I do.
Ben, is that where the influence for the beard came from, Alan Moore?
I had the beard before Alan Moore, man. I copyrighted that.
I got that first.
Me, I'm also, you know, here as a student. I'm looking to learn and ask questions and, you know, find out everything I can. Yes, I am a Batman fan and a DC fan. I really don't read too much Marvel, but I enjoy listening from it about it. Like, I didn't even know Wolverine lost his adamantium.
You didn't know that?
No, until you said it right now. I was like, well, that's pretty cool.
Well, I knew you came into to this really late. Mm-hmm. And all that, I read that back in the 90s, man.
Yeah, I was out already.
Right, exactly. But by the time we got back together, like, you know, coming back... you brought me back into comics. Like, oh, shit, you know, I missed out on so much. I left off, I don't know, late 90s, early 1000s. I stopped reading.
Yeah.
So I did. I was
gone. Once they told us to grow up.
Pretty much, yeah. Once we started to have to work and get a job and pay bills, and it was like, and girls, there was no time to.
Yeah, girls aren't going to put out.
Yeah,
exactly. You read comics, girls be like, what?
I know, seriously. It's like, grow up, dude.
I know, exactly.
You but yeah, I also left comics for about 10 years. So yeah,
there's always that gap.
I've come back strong, guys. All right, well, we're going to be reviewing The Long Halloween, Eric.
Oh, yeah, man. This is great, great read, especially for you Batman fans.
Yeah, yeah.
Long Halloween is a good read. It's a pretty big book, but really good story. I mean, it introduces. I mean, you could read this book and not know much about Batman. I mean, you know the generic things, like the topics, like, oh, he's, you know, an orphan child, parents were killed, fights crime, and, you know, it's just pretty much like throws you in like this, this thriller slash like a detective, a real detective thriller, where there's this killer, you know, and you're anticipating who it is, but you don't know who it is. Batman's also in out of the loop, and you're seeing Batman and these other, you know, like Commissioner Gordon, try to figure out who this killer is, and it's a great, great story. I would definitely recommend this to anybody who is a first time reader.
Yeah, the cool thing is the Long Halloween, because all the killings start on Halloween,
right? That's
and the killer he's dubbed Holiday.
Yeah, they call him Holiday.
Yeah, Holiday, because he starts killing people throughout the holidays as the months go on.
Right.
Yeah, he definitely starts off with Halloween, and then he goes on, what was it, Christmas? No, I'm sorry.
No, it was Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and so on and so forth.
One of the things that's really exciting about this book is the artwork. The artwork really pulls you in, just the storyline itself. It's if you probably aren't superhero esque, then this is kind of a mystery. A lot of old crime boss, what is it called? Organized crime is involved, right. And so forth.
Yeah, you'll recognize them in case you guys don't read comics. If you were to pick this book up, you'll recognize Carmine Falcone and Salvatore Maroni from the Nolan universe.
Well, see, this is the weird thing, see, because this came out way long before Nolan's movies.
Yeah, yeah.
So Nolan pretty much took this book. Ben, if you kind of look at it, have you seen The Dark Knight?
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
So well, you kind of see where there's like a lot of reference, like Nolan used from the book.
If I may jump in, go ahead. I actually have all my stickies say The Dark Knight, The Dark Knight, The Dark Knight. Because let me go to the first one. The first one is the page where Ben, where Selina Kyle comes in, and he says the panel goes so it's Selina Kyle and Bruce Wayne. Selina Kyle goes, "Friend of yours?" And Bruce Wayne goes, "I've contributed to his campaign for district attorney.
Yes.
I believe in Harvey Dent."
Exactly. Yes.
That whole saying was
taken from the book, for the movie,
right? Yeah. And the next page over, they're inside Commissioner Gordon. Harvey Dent and Commissioner Gordon are speaking, you know, just like in the movie also. Movie, he's they're asking about your friend. He's like, "I have a friend who wants to help." And remember in the movie, Harvey Dent's like, "Well, who's this friend?
Who's this friend? I want to talk to him.
I want to talk to your friend." Yeah. And since I'm doing it, I'll just keep going on. Yeah, Salvatore Maroni,
Falcone. The whole meeting on the rooftop.
Oh, I love this page. This panel, for some reason.
Right.
It's pretty simple. And Ben, I'm talking about the one where this is also from where Harvey Dent in the movie, he goes up and turns on the switch, and Commissioner Gordon runs in. He's like, "What do you do? Who's there?" You know, with his gun and shit. Yeah. And I think this picture here is awesome. It's the one with the back signal and Batman standing right in front of it, and it's just all black.
Like I said, the artwork is really, 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 really good on this. And one of the things about comic book stories is that when you're reading comic books, you really want the artwork to draw your attention. Or else you, one of my friends, Mike, says, "I don't want my eyes to get raped while I'm reading a good story."
here's another one where they're in the Batman and Harvey Dent go into that warehouse where they have stacks of money. It's also from
the Joker.
Yeah, where the Joker, you know, he shows it. But
the reference is kind of there.
The next scene, you see what happens.
They burn the money.
And the movie Joker burns it.
Right.
You know.
Who was saying it? Were you saying it? That doesn't seem very Batman-esque?
That was me.
Oh, that was you. Yeah, you were telling me that.
Yeah.
Well, Ben, what do you think? I mean, because what I was thinking is, I was talking to Eric, and I was like, you know that scene where Batman helps Harvey burn the money? I was like, that doesn't seem Batman-esque. I mean, I felt a little like out of character for him. What was your take on that scene?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, in this story, he didn't really... There was a lot of things he did that didn't seem very Batman-esque, yeah. But I thought that was good because the spin on the story, it's like you said, it's more detective than superhero.
Yeah, right, right.
So
right.
They can get away with doing that kind of stuff in there, I reckon.
Right, because he's human. You know, he's not a Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he's fighting normal criminals at this point
right,
as well.
Right,
so.
Exactly. True. Very true.
And that's what Eric said. He had said that, well, it's dirty money. You know, yeah, that was his response. And it was like, you're absolutely right.
Right.
It makes complete
sense.
He's
like, I can't have this nonsense in Gotham.
Well, exactly. It's like, it's dirty money. It's laundered money. It can't go back into circulation. It's just, might as well burn it. This is the only way you can really hurt crime, organized crime, is by burning its money.
Plus, one of the things I've noticed is this is really early on in the Batman years. It's not like...
Yeah, this was done in 97, I think. 97?
Oh, no, I mean, as far as the timeline of Batman, because this is when organized crime was the main problem. And then that's I mean, there's a lot of references in the book that say, you know, these freaks, you know, these freaks came in
when you
came in. And it's like, okay, they still haven't kind of blown Gotham apart. It's still organized crime.
Right. I mean, like, we all know Joker, we all know Riddler, all these main freak villains, right, that they call them. And it's like, with this book, they were still in it, but it was more about organized crime. It's really a detective. I mean, Batman is a detective. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, why not? I mean, this story is perfect. It's perfect for him. It's perfect for the premise. You can still toss in those freak villains, and they kind of like mix up the story a bit, you know, like by bringing them in.
What's his name? Two-Face. Remember this scene in the where he goes to court and they throw this at him?
Yeah, the acid.
And I was thinking, sorry, back to the movies. I was thinking, Nolan used that explosion.
Which one?
Remember in the movie,
right?
Where that's where Two-Face turns into Harvey Dent turns into Two-Face. Remember this scene in the book where Harvey Dent's at home with his wife and the Joker blows up the house,
right?
And I was like, oh, another Nolan thing. I was like, that's where he got Two-Face, but Two-Face, Harvey Dent didn't turn into Two-Face at that thing.
Right.
No, right.
He made it into the
very end, pretty much.
Towards the end, in the book, they waited until that court scene.
Right.
I wonder if Nolan didn't use it because that scene was used in Batman Forever.
Yeah.
With Tommy Lee Jones. So he didn't want to reuse that.
Right. There's a lot of takes into that, man, because, even the animated series did it differently.
Kind of... The thing exploded.
It exploded
in his
half
face.
On his half of his side of his body.
Yeah,
and you know, and but the thing is, if you notice in the book, there was always this thing about Harvey. He had this inner demon.
Yeah, he had this.
I remember how the calendar man kept mentioning that he's a Gemini.
Yeah,
that was a little hint right there. Like two, there's he's two using, sides to him.
He's using a 22
and a 22, right? Yeah. Exactly. But that's the kicker. It wasn't. I mean, if you read the book. Yeah. Well,
Ben, give us some of your insight on this book.
The thing I liked about it most is that it's such a really big graphic novel. It's bigger than I thought it would be.
Right.
And there's hardly any dialogue in it.
Yeah.
When you compare it to the amount of pages. And what I love about it is that the artist, I'm not sure of his name, he must have been putting his artwork in.
Tim Sale.
And when he saw that. Yeah, when he saw the final product, you know, the double page splash of the courtroom, for instance, there could have been so much dialogue on that bit. It's the very first part of when Harvey Dent comes Two-Face, and you know the money pile and everything else. Something else I love about it is every time the killer strikes, Holiday strikes, the image is in black and white.
Right.
Yeah, that was
like that.
Oh my god, I did not notice.
The only thing that was in color was the only thing. Sorry, the only thing that was in color was the actual like little ornament that he left behind.
Right,
yeah,
that was pretty.
Yeah,
cool.
Every single time. And something else I thought was really funny as well, which is what they mentioned in The Incredibles, is wearing a cape isn't always beneficial. When he's on the plane with the Joker and his cape.
Oh yeah.
There you go. That's how
he
looked kind of funny without the cape. When his cape was kind of all cut off, mm-hmm. He looked kind of weird. Like, yeah, that doesn't look like a Batman.
Right.
Yeah, you know why he wears it now, yeah.
Exactly.
I hated that when I had my action figure and I was a little kid and I would lose my cape. It's like, damn it.
Because he's like, shit, man.
I got to retire this Batman figure now. Mom, give me another one.
Or just buy the cape. Well, you can't buy the cape. You have to buy the toy.
The yeah. toy,
damn
right.
Damn, so.
But like you said, Ben, I really was impressed with the artwork, and it really sucks you in. And did you guys notice there was like a bit of repetitiveness every time that we would start off in a new book, per se? Like, it would reintroduce
the character, like, oh, this is El Falcone, member of the family, criminal family. Well, they had to do that for reasons, because every comic you picked up, let's say someone started off on chapter 12 or chapter 11, you'd have to know who that person was. Mm. That's how every comic usually does it. Well, this one does it a little more often than others, because I've read other comics, and this one does it more repetitive than others.
Right.
But
right.
I'm assuming they do that for a reason, just to be like, this is who the person is.
Right, right.
I stopped reading those. I just kind of like skip when I kind of like, oh, never mind. I'm just going to skip that.
Yeah.
I want to go right to the next little panel.
They wanted to make sure those characters got stuck in your head.
Pretty much,
and
man.
And they sure did.
And they sure did, because then you're like, Falcone, remember the... Yeah. Of the biggest crime boss family.
Yeah, I'm getting to name my firstborn Falcone now. Thanks. No, but one of the things, were you guys completely shocked about the end?
I was.
Oh, yeah.
I was.
Ben, what about you?
Definitely.
Did you see that coming at all?
No. No, no, no. Because that's the thing. When I'm reading this kind of thing, I'm not assuming all the way through. Like, you know, obviously try, it's him right from the beginning. And then you get surprised and there's a twist and there's another twist. But I love it. I love these kind of novels, man, when there's just twist after twist after twist.
Yeah, it was awesome.
This one definitely had a twist.
I mean, I've read this before, but reading it again years later, yeah. I still got surprised, because I'm like, I kind of didn't remember it too much, but now reading it, I was like, oh my God. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things I really enjoyed was like all the cameo appearances by almost every bad guy that's really
every
popular.
Villain, every
yeah.
Batman villain, except Mr. Freeze.
Except Penguin, too. He came in the end. But he didn't really have... Yeah.
Most definitely a great read. And it's kind of an origin story for Harvey Dent, Two-Face.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of cool bringing his story in like this.
Right.
And I see how Nolan probably freaking read this book and pretty much filmed it verbatim, like, on... For the Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, sorry, go ahead.
No, but I'm just saying, because, you know, except for the Joker, you know, because it was more, this is kind of like the opposite, to be honest, because, like, in the movie, they focus more on Joker, and toward the end, it was Harvey Dent.
Right.
I mean, like, Two-Face. Where in this one, they focus more on Harvey Dent, a little bit of the Joker, and then at the end, it was Two-Face.
Yeah, I just went to buy the book 2 days ago,
Friday.
Yesterday. Yeah. I read it all last night. I was kind of scared. I was like, oh, shit.
I know.
I'm like, damn, this is a big-ass book. But, like Ben said, it's a lot of
It's very intimidating. It's very intimidating at so first. You're like, geez, can I read all this?
But, I sat there and read the whole thing, and it was cool. But mine does have a little quote from Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
And it says, The Long Halloween is more than a comic book. It's an epic tragedy.
Right.
So
you kind of feel bad for Harvey Dent. And I do. Throughout the whole story, you're just like, toward the end, you're like, oh, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, and it sucks for Batman too, because he you can see like the emotions go through him. This book does show a lot more of
what Bruce Wayne
and the problems he was having. You know how the things in his past, you know, with his father and his parents.
Well, I really appreciate the inner monologue.
Yeah, him blaming himself for, you know, for his parents' death. Like, oh man,
I'm Batman.
Like I promised my parents.
Well, then I told my mom to wear those pearls that night,
oh,
and she
God.
Said they were for
oh yeah,
those were for a special night. It's like, we just went to the movies, and I told her, I pleaded,
let's make it special.
Oh. And you know that was bad. That was,
see, I feel the pain. I just, like, when I read these things, like I just love Batman so much that, you know, when he's going through these inner monologues, this self-inflicted pain due to memories, it just really hurts me. As a girl.
Yeah. No, well, you know what I love? That they never mentioned, well, at least, I didn't see anything about it. The scratches on Falcone's face.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't mention those.
Like, I assume they're from Catwoman.
That's right.
And then she's so involved into, like, Batman was saying, how come every time I'm around Falcone, you're here?
Yeah.
Right.
And they just never touched on it. And I was like, God damn it. Like, what happened?
Well, she made little hints like, oh, because I know you'd be here.
Right.
Yeah. You know, bullshit.
Yeah.
But she's like, you'll never know. And right. You never know.
Yeah.
But I would definitely recommend, there's actually a sequel to this, and it's called Dark Victory. It's written and Illustrated is the right word?
Yeah.
By the same writer and artist. So Tim Sale and Jeff Loeb do the same one for Dark Victory. I think they also did Year One. And yeah. Year One was also a good book.
Yes, Year One.
Also
very good.
A good read. All those are a good read. Anything that Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale touch, man, they also did a Superman called For All Seasons. That is also a good read.
I remember reading that, but I can't recall
that one. I do have in the what do you call it, Ivan? What do you call that thing? My shelf.
The Hal Jordan comic book library.
Yeah.
It's Ben. I don't know if you knew that Eric's a huge Green Lantern fan.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that. I've never read a Green Lantern comic.
Never? Jeez, man.
Never.
Well, Eric could direct you in the...
I could direct you in the right direction, Ben.
Awesome.
Well, Ben, don't feel bad because I'm his sister and I have never picked up a Green Lantern book either.
They're all right there. There's like pretty much like half a shelf of Green Lantern on there. And no one... Well, Ivan has read some of them, but Sarah has never touched one.
I'm waiting for you to get the Blackest Night back.
I know, man. That is a good series, man. I mean, you could read that. I know there's going to be a lot of questions when you read that saga. It's fairly new. I think it was like two, three years ago. But it's if you like zombies and all that kind of stuff, definitely worth the read, man. I know you probably have a lot of questions. I did too because I came in. That comic actually brought me back to reading comics again because I'm a huge zombie fan and. Reading these Black Lanterns that bring the dead superheroes back to life.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. And they're actually, they have consciousness. Like, they have their powers. But they look like zombie versions of themselves.
It's like DC zombies then.
Pretty much, but in a different perspective where they're not killing you to change you. They're actually trying to take your heart and pretty much like, it's weird because it starts off with the Black Battery coming out of nowhere, and the dead rising, and there's like this number. Every time they kill somebody, this little number comes up, and it says percentage 0.01. And you're just wondering, where the hell is that percentage going? And eventually you find out where it goes. But like I said, you'll probably have I had questions because there was Yellow Lanterns, Blue Lanterns, all this spectrum of colors. And I, for all I knew, there was a green and a yellow. I didn't know about reds. I didn't know about blues and purples. But reading from there, it was actually a good read because it was a long story arc about just zombie-ish superheroes, and it was really good.
That does sound amazing.
Yeah, it's actually on trade paperback. You should definitely pick it up, man. They're pretty inexpensive on Amazon.
Yeah, throw the link up on the Facebook page.
I will do so. Yeah, so all you listeners out there, if you guys are Green Lantern fans or not Green Lantern fans, you guys should definitely check into that one.
And that's one of the things I really love about comic books. It's that they don't spoon feed information to you. They just assume the reader will catch on or, you know, they don't insult us as readers, per se.
Right.
And that's one of the things that people just say, oh, they're little cartoons. They are not little cartoons.
They're not.
There is actual substance in these stories. And I can't stress that enough.
Right. Now you pick up like all this literature, you know what I mean? It's just like it teaches you a different type of vocabulary.
Yeah, not only that. I mean, they're, you know, some of these stories, they really actually do their homework on actual science. And they apply that in their stories.
Right, right.
You know, I was going to do my homework on, but I totally forgot about the Calendar Man.
Oh yeah, the Calendar Man.
That's
yeah.
Right. Me too. I didn't do that either.
What's
sorry.
Up with nobody?
The Calendar Man?
Anybody?
No, yeah, he did the same thing Holiday did, but just... more so with every goddamn, not just holidays, but
Secretary Days
and Flag Day, and he did weird kills, man, and it's it was kind of crazy.
I know his name is Julian Day, right?
Yeah, but it's weird because it's kind of funny how Holiday and him in the comic were put in the same cell
right across each other. Yeah,
I think that was funny, and he was pissed off too. You could see how Calendar Man was a constant comeback for Batman, like kept that coming back at him, asking for like hints, and he just like kept throwing it like.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I there's a lot of cameo appearances. I mean, there was a cameo appearance by Solomon
Grundy.
Grundy, born on Monday.
Born on Monday.
Born on Monday.
So I just thought it was really pretty awesome. So I hope that you guys get inspired and pick that up.
Definitely pick it up. It's on Amazon. We will post the link up on our Facebook page. How much should we pay for this? Like $16?
It's, yeah, a little, maybe 15.
It retails for $25, but on Amazon you can definitely.
Yeah, I had to run to the comic book store and I picked it up for $25.
Ouch!
That's all right. I don't regret it.
No, man. No,
there's
no joke.
No regret.
Yeah, a friend of mine was posting on her page like, "Oh, it's like, shouldn't you have that?" And I, you know, because he knows me, and he's like,
"Yeah,
should you have that?" And I said, "Dude, I did.
It's just let people.
I just
borrow
probably
them.
Let someone borrow it, and I never got it just back. Like I'm like, and I just, and now that we're reviewing it, I'm like, we don't have it. Now we gotta go buy it.
Hey, no, I totally thought we had it in the
no,
shelf.
I thought so
I just,
too. I
looked know,
through it time yeah. and time again. Every time I look at that shelf, I find something new.
Right. Ben, you picked these up on Amazon or?
Yeah, because we got bookshops. We don't have comic shops really in this area. I have to travel quite a long way to a comic book shop.
Wow.
So we've got like Waterstone shops, which are a retail. But yeah, if I want anything that's hard to get hold of, it's Amazon. They're about £20 a pop, which is about $35.
Damn.
Gasp.
How's the economy? How's the economy over there?
Shit. But I don't mind spending the money. I mean, the thing about comics that amazes me is that books are my forte, right? Just like normal novels, right? But when you're reading a book, the words describe everything. Your mind does the rest, okay? With a comic, the pictures do, I'd say, 75% of the work. The artist has got to, you know, project emotion, scenery, absolutely everything. And it's astounding the way they can pull that off in these comics, especially this Long Halloween comic. They did it very, very well. It's amazing.
Right. Yeah, the art was so simplistic to me. Like, I mean,
it wasn't complicated.
It wasn't too complicated,
but
like,
it was perfect.
But it was perfect. I know, yeah. I mean, you see that a lot in like Mark Miller books.
Well, yeah, it's like if I mean, this Batman is like, yeah, like you look at him and yeah, it's like you said, he's simple. If you put this Batman and put him up against what, like a Jim Lee Batman?
Jim Lee has all these like
ripples and
I mean, it's all it's very it's very detailed, which I like. But
he looks like Ben in his Marvel shirt.
I'm Batman.
That's the thing. Like it's simple, but you know, a lot of the things that really make it pop for you are the emotion in the eyes and in the face that he projects with his art, and plus the movement that he captures in his in these scenes are fantastic.
You know what, that was awesome when how a Joker was going about pretty much his chapter singing that Christmas song.
Oh yes. Like,
oh, he was
but changing the words.
Yeah, he was actually singing. He was actually, I think it was The Grinch Stole Christmas,
right?
Yeah. That's when I picked it up, like, The Grinch Stole Christmas.
Right,
that's
right.
Cool. I'm actually surprised he didn't kill that family.
Me too. I'm a little shocked. You know, but you never know what he's going to do.
Right,
which
that's the Joker,
him.
Man. And I like how they put him in there.
Yeah, and they put him in there as a sense, like, oh, they can't be two psychopaths in the city.
Yeah.
There's only room for one.
Exactly. And he's all telling Batman, I'm trying to help you, man. I'm trying to capture this
guy. I know
guy.
This is kind of off topic, but yeah, last night I put on Red Hood. I love that movie, Red Hood.
Oh yes,
under the and it starts off with, you know. Have you seen Red Hood, Ben?
No, I've never seen it.
Dude.
Well, it starts off with Jason Todd and
Jason Todd.
When Joker's beating him down, when he kills him, pretty much.
Oh yeah,
and now he becomes Red Hood. Oh my god, I was like, gee, just that Joker they put in there was fucking awesome. Like
he was
his voice. Right. It was, and he's just kicking his ass and like, and it's like you could tell, like I was sitting there in my bed, I was like about to cry, I was gonna bust a Kevin Smith, I was like, Robin, what was he going through? It's like if he was actually a real person,
I felt more bad for Batman because he was rushing to save him.
Yeah, I mean that's just dude. That it was cool when they show that close up on the eye of Robin, and that his pupil kind of like
because he
gets small and he's like. And did you see the shadow of Joker just whooping his ass with the crowbar? Oh, my bad.
Yeah
but that was
it was really.
You gotta pick that up, Ben.
That's definitely a must watch, Ben.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean, you can get all these online, can't you? You don't have to buy them, I guess.
Do you guys have Netflix over there?
Yeah, we got Netflix. Yeah,
it's on Instant Watch, man. All those DC animated films are all on. We're all on DC. I mean, DC on Netflix. Sorry.
Yeah.
So you said
see, that's another thing. Not only am I getting back into comics, but since listening to Fat Man on Batman, I've just discovered the Dark Knight Returns cartoon that's based on the comic.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you just don't realize how good these things are until you hear someone like Kevin Smith talking about it. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Oh yeah.
Right,
I was listening to the part two on on Friday at work. Oh my god, I was like, God, I just want to like, I don't know. I just
wanna... See, I like how enthusiastic he is and how he talks about it. Where he's not like, oh, it's just some movie, and yeah, it's like a critic review. You know how they just say, oh yeah, it's a, I go to 5 stars, and yeah, it was good. No, Kevin Smith, literally, you could tell that he, you know, feels for this film. Like, it's a good film, an animated film.
And yeah, he's a real lover of the art, isn't he? And like the actual skill itself. And the thing is, like, I'm in a house with like a girlfriend and 2 kids, and even my kids are like, Daddy, why are you buying so many comics? And I'm like, well, hold on. I'm giving them to you when I die. And right, they're like, oh, okay. So they kind of like them.
That's the same thing I tell my son. I tell him, and I point him to my shelf, and I'm like, soon, son, you'll get to read these when you get older. He's like, so I get to read them? I'm like, yes. These are all yours when I'm gone. You could pass them down to your children.
They're or pay for your college.
Or pay for your college tuition. No, but I mean, they're great literature, man. They're just stones in time, you know, like they're just going to always be there.
Yeah. I mean, it's on my mind all day. Just luckily I'm able to chat with you guys while I'm at work, because it gets me through my work day. I'm just like, I totally have like the bat signal in my head the whole time. It's just like,
yeah, I mean, well, sometimes like message me like, we could talk comics like right now. Like, I'm at work.
I have all my little post-its are, I have like bat signals and Batman's drawn on them. I put them on the wall. You know, everybody walks by and it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, man, I did a lot of art for a while. I did a lot of comic art, and I got a lot of ridicule for it because people were like, oh, you're too old. Or, you know, aren't you past that?
You know, I was telling Monique, this style that's in the book reminded me of your drawing, because you don't do, like, when I draw, I do that sketchy.
Yeah, I don't do the sketchy thing.
Eric doesn't do that. He does the line. He just does a single.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Yeah, they call me, like, the copy machine. Like, I see something and I draw it, like, straight out like that. And I'm like, no, man, it's how I see it. I'm more of a clean art kind of guy.
Mine's are all hairy.
So it kind of sucks, because I used to at work, I have a big wall, and I would put my pictures on the wall, and people would be like, you got to take it down, because it looks like you have too much time on your hand. I'm like, I do these during my lunch.
Right,
like,
right.
You know, I love this. And then it's like, wow, you just know there's no room for like,
there's
love
no
of
room
the
for
art.
Us.
There's no room for, yeah, for us, like, to love comics.
Well, as we're telling Eric, we got to open a comic shop.
That's not a bad idea, man. I mean, I really wanted to do that. I've always wanted to work at a comic shop.
Ben will be our England representative.
Hey, there you go. He'll be our rep. So
I can do that. I'll do it for free as well.
We'll just send you a few shipments of
trade paperbacks. Yeah, just like, here you go, Ben.
That would be a good idea.
And that's another thing for me. It's about the story. So I know a lot of people are comic book collectors where they want to keep it in mint condition and so forth. I like to get the trade paperback because I want to be able to reread the story over and over again as many times as I want.
Right. No, that's a good point. See, like me and Ivan, we did trade paperbacks, and we read The Court of Owls. The new 52 Batman, and we stopped because there's only one volume, but it was still a continuation. Like, they were still coming out with the comics, and we went to the comic shop, and I was like, you know what? I don't think I can wait for volume 2. So I told the guy who works there, do you have this certain number to this number? I know it's been a while, but can I purchase them? He's like, yeah, sure, let me find them for you. We found them. I bought them, and I was like, you know what, Ivan? I think I'm going to start doing this because I don't want to be left behind. Like, I want to keep up to date with the story. Like, I can't wait months because, like, the volume 2 won't come out till July.
Yeah.
Horrible.
So I can't wait till July. Me and Ivan already read what was going to be in volume 2. So now it's just reading.
We got to go in and get Death of the Family.
Death in the Family, right. And it's like, we had to do that. And I told Ivan, it's a commitment. Like, you have to ask yourself, are you going to be committed to purchasing a comic every week?
Now I'm like, I'm in!
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, it was really just heart-wrenching for me. I would go to the comic shop, pick up my Sandman, read it. Like, I would sit there and read it, and then I'm like, oh, God, I'm done. Yeah, what the hell, and I have to wait.
Yeah, because it's like 20, 25 pages long, 30 pages or something. Yeah. They got all these advertisements in the middle.
And of course they leave you hanging with some kind of great event.
Well, they have to.
I know.
That's the only way.
I'm like, no.
Ben, are you up on any of the New 52 or Marvel Now?
I'm reading New 52. Yeah, I've read the first Court of Owls.
Okay. Did you like that? Love it. It was awesome. Oh, you got to get him the continuation.
Yeah, you definitely got to. You know what?
Yeah, I've already been looking on Amazon for the release dates of the next one. And, you know, I have to be patient, really.
Yeah, I definitely have to try to get some for you.
Somehow we got to get you the copy of the Mr. Freeze one.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's really awesome.
Yeah, that looks awesome. Yeah, you were talking about that in the last fanny pack, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait for these, man. But the thing is, like I said, I'm discovering there's so much for me to read now because I've just rediscovered it. So it's exciting.
We're totally on the same page. I haven't read in like 10 years. So when I picked up, you know, The Long Halloween, I was like, whoa. And then I started reading other comic books for the individual comic review.
Yeah, do you guys want to go on into the individuals?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, definitely. So each one of us read a comic book individually, and we're going to go ahead and introduce that to our audience. Hopefully you guys can get inspired and read it, pick it up. We're going to start with Ivan.
Okay. Sure.
Yes, Ivan,
I want to be last.
Can you let us know what book you picked up?
Actually, I was kind of sick this week, so it was kind of hard for me to do this reading. But I have a book that I wanted. This is a Marvel. I was looking through my shelf, and I'm like, okay, Batman.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is quite an event that he read Marvel.
This is a Marvel, and just because I wanted to pick this book up, and it's called Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe, and it's a pretty awesome story, and I picked it up because it says, kills the Marvel Universe.
Like, what?
Okay.
No, and I mean, the cover is pretty awesome.
It really is. Who's the artist?
Dalibor Tolajek.
Well, it looks great.
Yeah, no, it's just a one. It's not long at all. It's a few pages. Yeah, just a few.
It was. I think it was only like a 5 comic run. That was it.
Yeah, but pretty much it's Deadpool.
Killing the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, he kills. He literally goes through and wipes the whole Marvel Universe out, and he has certain ways of killing everybody. If I show you a few shots, like he melts Mr. What the hell is his name? Mr. Fantastic. Yeah,
Mr. Fantastic. Yeah.
He melts him, and yes, you know, check it out. You see that?
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
Because he's elastic, and I think
he like chops Punisher's head off or something. No, Hulk's head. Right. When he's Bruce Banner.
Oh, yeah. My God.
It's pretty bloody. It's pretty awesome. I would recommend you guys picking it up if you want to read something quick and fun. And actually, at the end, you're going to have to watch your back.
Oh, right. Really?
Yeah.
Yes. Definitely a good read for any fan.
Well, I'm definitely interested in learning more about Deadpool. I've seen him a lot, and I really know nothing about the character. I'll definitely pick that up.
Yeah, I don't know too much either. Ben, actually, one of your buddies on Academy, the other guy listens to or reads Deadpool, right?
Richard? Yeah, Rich loves Deadpool. Yeah, he absolutely loves him. He tells me about him all the time. I mean, it goes in one ear and out the other because I'm all about DC. I killed the Marvel Universe. I'm happy about it. Let them all die.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's why I was like, oh, this is interesting. Kills Marvel Universe? Sure, why not?
Yeah, let's do it.
And the way he kills all these all the heroes, man, it's genius. But then again, it's just one of those, you know, pick up and read and have fun with it.
Yeah. It was a fun read.
Yeah, my review. And again, we're going to still stick with Batman. I'm a huge Batman fan, too. But this read, I love Jim Lee. I've loved Jim Lee's art since the get-go. Since before he did anything major was back then when he did
we actually met him
a long
at
time
ago. Jeffrey's Comics yeah, before in he got Gardena. Big yeah. Yeah.
What did he do? What was that?
Was it Wildcats?
Young Bloods.
Yeah. We met him.
Yeah.
The line was 3 people long.
Yeah, it was kind of sad.
For his signature.
And
I know. You were there, right?
I was there.
Well, we were there, yeah. Well, back then, comics weren't even
good. Good luck now.
Yeah, I know. We can't even get close to him. There's a velvet rope around him, guys, at Comic-Con.
Oh, and then now that he did those cars for
those
Kia
cars? Hell yeah.
Oh, I want to bet, man.
Oh, Ben, have you seen that? The Kia cars that Jim Lee had designed?
No, I haven't.
Dude, I got to put that up. We got to find it.
He pretty much did one for each member of the Justice League.
Yeah.
So there's a Superman car, there's a Batman car, Wonder Woman, Flash, Aquaman,
and a Green Lantern.
Green Lantern. And it just, like, it has all their logos all over the place and in the colors, and they fucking look awesome.
Oh, the Batman car especially.
Dude. Oh, yeah.
It was like a Kia Optima, all nice, sleek black with the logo, and man, look pretty much like a fancy Batmobile.
Don't you open like the middle console and have like the shurikens in there?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty crazy. I got to look that up, that article, and then post
it. Yeah, we'll
put
a link up. Yeah.
Put a link up on the Facebook page. So my review is on Batman Hush. This is actually, well, now you can pick it up, and it's actually like a thick one, like a one shot. Before, it was actually split into two trade paperbacks. It's all about Bruce, and they kind of introduce a friend of his now, like a young friend that he had back when he was a kid, and who still comes often. And there's this new villain called Hush. Not to give away anything, but it's just a lot of twists and turns. All the villains come out. You see all of Batman's allies. You know, Nightwing, Robin, mm-hmm. Batgirl, and really great read. That also is what brought me back to Jim Lee. I forgot who wrote the story for that one. All I know is that Jim Lee did the art. I'm not too sure, but definitely worth it, man. Ben, have you read Hush?
That's one of the ones I've seen in the local shop, actually. So now I'm going to pick it up.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Actually, I was going to tell you, I have an extra copy of Volume 2. Well, hey, that saves them one book from having to buy one book.
Very true.
I could hook you up with it, Ben, and I'll send it over.
And we'll find Volume
1. Oh, that'd be awesome.
I think I have another
one. But that's Volume 2, so you got to find Volume 1.
I think I have another Volume 1, but I'm going to have to look at
that. Yeah, I think Volume 1's the one in the shop, so that's perfect.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it, man.
Bringing comics... together.
Yeah, it's a real good read, man. I liked it. The art is also...
Oh, Jeff Loeb.
Jeff Loeb. So, can't go wrong with Jeff Loeb, man. Jeff Loeb is a genius when it comes to stories, and Jim Lee's art. So, it's kind of like what Tim Sale and Jeff Loeb did, but now you got Jim Lee involved, and it's like Mike said, he doesn't want to get his eyes raped.
Yeah.
Your eyes will definitely not get raped. They will definitely get
Stimulated
they love.
They won't make love to you.
They won't make love to your eyes.
Jim Lee's just, the way he draws.
Yeah, man. It's just awesome. So detailed. Oh, yeah. It just seems right. Yeah, it's always just right.
So right.
So definitely worth it, Ben. And all you listeners, you definitely will want to pick up Hush.
So this Hush character, what is his stick?
Well, in the beginning, you don't know who he is.
Okay.
Just comes in, has some weapons. Obviously, he's fairly combat efficient.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah, he's just to throw something in. His name is Dr. Thomas Tommy Elliot.
Tommy Elliot.
And he's a friend of
Bruce's.
Bruce Wayne when they're young.
A long time friend.
Oh, okay.
And it's actually cool how they have some flashbacks of their childhood.
Yeah,
I love that.
Because they tossed in some of the Golden Age DC heroes in there real quick. Yes. Like, it's not really giving away anything, but you see like the old Green Lantern, like the Alan Scott.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was awesome.
Fighting, I think he was fighting Icicle or something, but it was like there's actually heroes, you know, while heroes are still young. They're not even like Batman was still the young child Bruce Wayne, and he's watching this Green Lantern hero fight this other villain. So it's kind of like I'm thinking to myself, did that influence him in some way? Like when after his parents died, did that make him say, hey, I want to become a hero too, mm-hmm. just like them, become a symbol, you know?
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. I like that little bit. So Ben, definitely pick it up, and everyone definitely pick up that one. So that's my review.
All right. I like that.
Yeah. Ben, hook me up with your address.
your physical address?
Your physical real address?
No problem. I can do that.
I don't know how things work outside of the US.
Exactly the same, man.
I know.
We're not living in.
Hey, well, if I go to Mexico, when I go to over to Mexico, they're like, I'm like, what? What? They give me like all these, what? Where do you live?
They're called coordinates. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, give me your coordinates.
Longitude, latitude.
Exactly.
Yeah, message me and I'll hook you up with that book. I'll send it over.
Sweet, man. I definitely will.
So, Ben, what did you read?
I read Superior by Mark Miller.
Nice.
Whoa.
And it's so good. I'm not going to be able to tell you much about it without spoilers. So I don't know. Should I really go sort of delve into it?
Just do it, man. Do it.
Okay. It's about this little kid who's got multiple sclerosis. Okay, and it, the book starts with them watching a film. It's kind of like Superman, but it's not. It's about a character called Superior, and he's got multiple sclerosis. He's with his friend. He gets bullied. You know, quite generic. And then when he goes to bed that night, this monkey in a spacesuit turns up in his room and grants him a wish.
What?
And he becomes Superior. Oh. And then he goes around the world and starts saving, you know, like the space station falls out of space towards the Earth. And he saves, and then there's this typical Lois Lane-esque reporter who, you know, purposefully crashes her car into the sea so he will save her. Not knowing that he's a little kid trapped in a grown man's body kind of thing. And while this is going on, the actor that plays Superior in the film is getting all this jip, basically. Like, who is this guy? You know, because Superior just comes out of nowhere. Excuse me. And what happens is the bully of the little kid at the beginning, the space monkey turns up in his bed and gives him the chance to be a super villain. And it sort of steamrolls from there. But it's the only way I can describe it is a cross between Big and Superman.
Oh.
It's so good.
Wow, that's a really good cross.
You know what? That actually reminds me of another hero.
Oh, yes.
I'm trying to find.
Shazam?
No. Well, yeah, Shazam also. But there was this other one called, I forgot. It was actually a cartoon. I saw it as a cartoon. But it's this guy called, I think, Prime or something. Where this green goop would go over him and he would turn like into this big hulking like Supermanish hero. So this kind of reminds me of that. So it's called, his name is Superior?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just Superior, yeah.
He looks a lot like Hyperion.
It's really, really good. Like it's one of those comics where you're not sure what direction it's gonna go in until, you know, it hits you. You don't see it coming and it's amazing. It really is an amazing, amazing comic. I picked up the hardbacks. I'm not sure how old it is. But, yeah, in this country, it was like
£20. It's probably around that. $25.
And well worth the money. Well worth the money.
Definitely. I'll definitely check that out.
So who are the writers and artists?
Well, the artist is a guy called, let's see if I can pronounce his name. It's Lin Neil Yu. I think he's Chinese. It's L-E-I-N-I-L, and his second name is Y-U. But the writer is Mark Miller. And there's really cool bits, like when he's pulling the car out of the sea with the reporter inside, the number plate is Kick-Ass, which is another comic that Mark Miller wrote, isn't it? So there's all these little Millerisms all the way through it.
Oh, I like that. Nice. I like
it's that. Pretty cool. The art is actually amazing as well.
Very good.
It's really, it looks like, have you seen, there's a film called Scanner Darkly. Have you seen that?
Yeah. The cell animation kind of thing?
Yeah. It kind of looks like that. It's got really weird textures to it. Really colourful. Really detailed. Not overly detailed, but it's really good. It's awesome. I love this. I've read it like 4 times since I got it a couple of weeks ago.
Wow, that's awesome. Wow, man, must be that good.
It's saying a lot.
Yeah.
Dude, man, was it called Space Monkey Grants You Wish? Hey.
You can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, because you find yourself like, what would I wish if I, you know, if this weird space monkey turned up in my bedroom?
That's a good question.
Money.
Money?
Yeah. Just money.
I don't know what I would wish for.
World peace.
They'd have to give me a week to decide, I think.
I'd be like a successful comic book star.
Very good. I like that.
Not bad. I like that answer.
Nice.
One that will never go under but always makes me money.
Yes. I'm just well off.
Always well off.
You hear that? We're getting like a...
Like an echo?
Yeah, like an echo.
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
What's up with that? Sarah, what do you got?
Well, kids, I have Black Orchid. This is an amazing trade paperback. I've had it for years, and I've read it several times. This is written by Neil Gaiman, of course. And artwork is by Dave McKeon. Now, Dave McKeon is not a very simple artist. Dave McKeon is just brilliant. He is complicated, complex, and the artwork is just phenomenal in this book. I mean, just incredible. This is about Black Orchid, which is something of a mystery. She's always been around, and her powers include super strength, invulnerability to bullets, master of disguise. And the thing about this character is, like, she's been around for quite some time, but nobody really knows where she came from. And this book opens that door. It pretty much tells you her background and so forth. Like, in any case, so it starts off by killing the main character.
Wow.
Black Orchid dies in the first three pages. Wow,
that's a first.
Yeah, no kidding. And this takes place in Metropolis, and it doesn't tell you it's Metropolis. What happens is you figure it out because Lex Luthor, they talk about Lex Luthor.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
So she's undercover, and they discover her, and she's about to find out who the head honcho of this, like, crime organization is. Right before that happens, they kill her off. And then we find out it's Lex Luthor. He had her killed.
Crazy.
Yeah, and because of her invulnerability to bullets, they shoot her in the head, and then they burn her. And they don't just burn her, they burn the entire building, because they really want her dead. Jesus. And she doesn't even die of burning. She dies because, what she is a plant, hybrid. And so we didn't know this until the story came out, but she's a plant hybrid. And so she doesn't really die of burning. She dies because there is no oxygen. She dies of carbon monoxide poisoning.
So it makes sense. I mean, you know,
plant.
Anybody that can live forever can't survive without oxygen.
Right, right.
Even Superman has to breathe.
Right. And this is just... This is the opposite, I guess, of the Long Halloween. This has a lot of dialogue. A lot. Because, I mean, that's what Neil Gaiman does. It just feeds you all this information, which is just amazing. There's... So when she dies, her maker, or the person who created her, he has other black orchids in a garden. And when she dies, to awaken. And then... you know, hijinks transpire, things happen, and they destroy the other ones, the other sisters. So this girl wakes up and she has memories of her former self, but she's trying to figure herself out. So she's running away from Lex, her ex-husband of the human that the Black Orchid is fashioned after. He's after her as well. So she goes from Metropolis to Gotham City to try to find Pamela Isley.
Oh,
I know, seriously. Yeah. Pamela Isley and the doctor who's Swamp Thing, and is Jason Woodrow. I'm not sure who Jason Woodrow is.
Jason Woodrow, sounds familiar.
I know. I meant to look him up.
What's the name?
Jason Woodrow.
Jason Woodrow.
Now, it turns out that these three characters, the Swamp Thing, and the Pamela Isley, and Jason Woodrow, went to college with the maker of Black Orchid.
Oh, wow.
And so she goes on to try to find them and find out what she is. Tell me what I am. I have these memories. I don't know what's going on. So her and the little one, because one of the other Black Orchids is small, they go and they try to figure it out. So... While she's in Gotham, she runs into... Well, actually, Batman runs into her.
Batman too?
Yeah, Batman comes in and is like, what are you doing in my city? And then, you know, he knows her. He knows her former self. Is like, I know you're a crime fighter. You're on our side. Let me help you out. So he sends her to Arkham.
I'm sorry, is that Swamp Thing right there?
Yeah, that's what she said.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
She said Swamp Thing and...
No, I know. I was just saying if this was a show.
And Poison Ivy.
And Poison Ivy. So she gets to go to Arkham, talk to Poison Ivy. Poison Ivy's just... And it's really raw. It's really adult, because there's a scene where she's talking to Poison Ivy, and Poison Ivy's like, you know why the guards don't rape me? Because they're afraid of me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just in your face.
A little info on Jason Woodrow, the Floronic Man. Jason Woodrow, also known as the Plant Master and Floro.
He must be one of those B-rated villains.
His most famous appearance is in Swamp Thing...
Oh, so he's a Swamp Thing villain.
Particularly, it was in one of the Alan Moore Swamp Things.
Wow.
Oh, wow, Alan Moore.
Yeah, he was in the first volume of the Alan Moore Swamp Thing, yeah. I remember him clearly.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Nice.
He was in the Atom. A few other things, yeah. Wonder Woman, Green Lantern. Yeah.
So they
So she goes on, and she eventually says, well, Pamela didn't help me. And then Batman's like, well, go down into the swamps, and if he wants to be found, he will find you. And then he goes on and takes her into the green. The green was also referenced in the movie in the comic book we just reviewed, which is sort of like a planned hybrid thing.
Uh-huh.
Where they take you into this into the green. And yeah. So Swamp Thing does that to Black Orchid, and he fills her with the information she needs. And so then she's kind of left with this longing because her maker's gone and all her sisters are dead. So he pretty much puts his hand in her chest and he said, this is what you'll need. And he pulls out these seeds. So she decides to, like, no more violence for her. She goes to, the Amazon, and she plants her sisters. But Lex is still after her, and so with her ex-husband. And that comes to a conclusion, a bloody conclusion. But it's a very good, extraordinary read. I really, really, really enjoyed it. It's really kind of emotional, trying to find yourself. I really liked it. The artwork is amazing. So if you guys have a chance, pick it up.
I'm definitely sold.
Yeah.
Seems like a real good book.
Batman's
in
it?
Yeah, it does sound awesome.
So.
Well, you got Swamp Thing and you got Batman in there. I mean, it's pretty. I didn't know that book actually transcended into the DC universe. I didn't know that.
DC, Vertigo.
No, I know, but you rarely see the
DC.
You rarely see Vertigo really step into the actual DC universe. Like I think one time I saw Sandman get into a Justice League book, just once.
Oh yeah, he's
but it was just once. That was the only reference you ever saw them ever together.
Mm-hmm.
So with this one, I'm just kind of surprised because Vertigo rarely steps into that boundary with the heroes. Where they're more like self novels by themselves,
right?
You know?
Right. No, so, and I get that, but definitely there's some blurring of the lines sometimes, and I really really enjoy that. I love these cameo appearances.
That's good. I like it, man. It's a good read. I should definitely read that.
Yeah, and it's like I said, it's really heavy on the dialogue and really heavy on the inner monologues. But I found that to be refreshing and very I think a little poetic. I really love that. I really love that.
What?
This.
Ben, you had a question you wanted to ask, you wanted to talk about, right?
Oh, you'd have to remind me. I've got loads of questions. What one in particular?
You said, who do you think is the most powerful superhero and why?
Yeah, I was at work and, you know, I work with a lot of people that are into this kind of thing. So we always talk about, you know, what power would you have if you could have it? And we were talking about, you know, we were sparring off superheroes or supers. So that does include God, Sarah, by the way.
I'm out.
So, I mean, the discussions that come off of this question are massive. So, I mean, who do you think, in your opinion, one by one, who do you think is the greatest super that, say they were all in the same universe, you know, DC, Marvel, you know, every single, you know, manga, everything. Who do you think the most powerful one is?
That's a tough one. If I would say outliving everybody else, I would give it to Superman. I know that sounds a little bit generic, like everyone's answer, Superman. But dude has incredible strength, super speed, super vision, super everything. And dude doesn't age as fast as we do. So, I mean, I would think that's... I mean, everybody wants to live forever, right? Everybody wants to be in... You know, in different places in split seconds, and everybody wants to be super strong. But again, with great power comes great responsibility, and I think if that power is just too much for one person.
But do you think if he didn't have such a heavy conscience that he would just get crazy?
Well, that's the thing. If you give that power to me, I don't know what I would do. Honestly, I mean, would I want to do some self gain? Would I want to rob a bank? You know, would I want to steal money and make myself well off, or would I risk my life for other people and not get paid for it? You know,
I wouldn't.
See, I know.
I'd be evil. I'm sorry.
See, that's the worst part. It's the same question.
What would be your evil name?
My evil name. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. It had to be something cool. Something cool.
Something that strikes fear into the hearts of man.
Right. Batman. Batgirl. I'm just kidding.
Taken.
Well, since you said Superman, we actually had a post up on our Facebook page. That's Mint Condition Comic Connoisseurs. Don't forget to look us up on Facebook.com/ Mint Condition Comic Connoisseurs.
Very good.
We had a post up from Johnny Canada. I think you'd find him on Taurus vs. Zombies, right, Ben?
Yeah, it's John Magdal from Taurus vs. Zombies. Yeah, and, big comic book fan.
Yeah, he wrote... he said, I have to go with the Incredible Hulk over super. Other supers might win the battle with the Hulk, but never a war. Indestructibility, immortality, and ever increasing power levels mean that winning in a battle against the Hulk only gets you a meaner, greener foe the next time around. And you having said Superman, he said, Dr. Manhattan and Superman are contenders. But everybody they fight seem to know their weaknesses, tachyons and kryptonite.
True.
Yeah, but then again, getting off subject, Hulk, actually the Marvel Universe decided to launch Hulk into space because they saw him as too much of a threat, which kind of sucked for him.
Right.
Because he is still a man. I mean, he is still Bruce Banner. It just sucks that the Hulk just comes out of him. So they had to make that tough decision to send him into space, hurl him into space and kind of say, you know, like throwing out the trash.
Right.
Or sweeping him under the rug.
He could hook up with Hal Jordan up there.
Nah, but you know what, though? He actually landed on the planet and actually made the planet called Planet Hulk. That's why there's a comic line called Planet Hulk.
And that was what I was going to ask you. Didn't they do an animated series?
They did. Marvel also does animated films, which are also good. Not as good as DC's. They stopped doing some. They didn't very do
DC
very...
DC gets it emotional. It makes you cry.
Well, Marvel has movies, so...
Yeah.
Why do animations?
My face, man. No, but it's true. I mean, you know.
Why do animations when you can do good movies?
Yeah, he does have a point.
But yeah, so I mean, Hulk is. I would say Hulk is a good power. But then again, the infinite rage. I would say if the perfect balance would be if you had the strength of the Hulk, just without the rage. You know, like is it? Would you have your? Would you have your? What's the word? Would you be mentally like okay, like you won't be like some just home hulking rage monster? You'd be like you'd have a consciousness, like
yeah, you'd have self control,
right?
Right.
I mean, if that's the case, then yeah, sure, Hulk also is good, but also has weaknesses. Nobody cannot have a weakness, cannot not have a weakness.
Yeah, right? And I mean that was shown in what was that movie about where all the superheroes died? The animated series where all the superheroes die and then the kids are survived. And one of the only superheroes from the old times that survived was the Hulk.
Right. Well, it's because he ran.
Right, but...
He hid.
No, but I mean, what were they saying is like they left him alone because he was just too crazy.
If you leave him alone, he won't fight you.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it's not bad. So what do you think, Ivan? What would yours... What's the most powerful superhero, do you think?
I have no idea. This is hard.
I know, it is.
But I was actually going to go with the Hulk.
Okay.
I had the same feelings Johnny Canada, or McDole, had that he said on the Facebook page. Because, I mean, just simply because, I mean, yeah, it's like Superman, it's like, yeah, he's up there too, the whole kryptonite thing. But then again, like you said, with the Hulk, you know, his things, I don't know, I'm kind of like all over the place.
Yeah, see, but they actually, DC and Marvel actually had a fight. And they actually pinned Hulk and Superman together.
Yeah, oh, really? They had a fight.
And the thing is that Superman, right off the bat, comes with strength. He's already at full strength. Like, he just holds back. Hulk doesn't.
Right.
Hulk has to get mad to get stronger. So if Superman just realizes, like, oh, Hulk is getting stronger with me just not taking him out right now, then his course of action would be take this fool out. So that's why Superman would be the best ability to me, because he has it all. Hulk just has strength, no speed, no supervision, no, not, you know, just Superman is kind of close, like Ben said no god powers, but that's as close as you, that's as close as you're gonna get to as being a god.
True. And can't he go back in time? I mean,
if, well, they did that in the movie.
But yeah, I know, but I'm just saying that that is a possibility.
I mean, yeah, just to me, like, I feel like in the comic universe, like, they sell, you know, I can't, I mean, Superman is Superman, but now I feel like in the comic universe, they sell kryptonite at every corner.
True that,
you know,
man.
What? That is, you know? So true. I so mean, it's how like, do you, how does that happen?
You make some kryptonite brass, kryptonite knuckles for Hulk, and he's going to destroy Superman.
Yeah, but why would you want to give the power to someone like Hulk?
No, I know, but you're saying, he's just mentioning that Hulk has
the
higher.
You wouldn't. You'd give it to somebody like Bruce Banner.
Yeah, right.
So what do you think, sir? What's your most super powerful superhero?
Oh, guys, I can't. No, I can't even begin to answer this because I would need to do a lot more research in the comic book world as far as superheroes, and I just haven't done it.
So I'm Sarah's sorry. Indecisive.
Undecisive.
Ben, what do you think,
such
man?
Such a girl.
Mine is Dr. Manhattan.
Dr. Manhattan, Watchmen.
Just because, like, he's uber powerful, but the thing about him is he's above life, so he doesn't even care for morality.
Right. And you know what? We were mentioning that about how God powers too. He would really come actually more closer to being godlike than the Superman.
Yeah, because doesn't he transcend? Yeah, isn't he
omnipotent? Pretty much.
That's the thing. That's what I like about Watchmen, is because all the other heroes are just vigilantes, and then the only superhero to come about is like the most powerful superhero you can imagine, or the most powerful super you can imagine. He can turn you to atoms. He can turn other things into different objects. He can go back and forwards in time. He can recollect everything that he's ever done.
Wow.
It's crazy the things he can do. But the one thing, he doesn't care for life. It's like the equivalent of us standing on an anthill. That's what he thinks of people.
Very
so,
good.
You're absolutely... so
when you wouldn't be able to talk him down. Do you know what I mean?
Right. That's a good point, man. No, that's true.
I didn't even throw
Dr. Manhattan in there. Dude does have abilities way beyond any of the heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
dude could be in the same place at once. He could be here. He could be in the moon. He could be on Saturn building a society. And all within his power.
But, okay, I know Superman can't be in two places at once.
Yeah, but he can't build any. He can't just turn you into atoms out of thin air.
Yeah.
No, but it's just, I think the only comic book kind of read consistently on Superman, I don't remember the name, but him and Wonder Woman got transported to a different dimension, and they had to battle demons constantly. So, you know, just because also Superman can exist in another plane of existence without, you know, suffering the consequences.
Probably Dr. Manhattan can create kryptonite out of thin air.
Yeah, you're right. No, but that's a great choice, Ben.
Yeah, dude, Ben, you know what, man? I just changed my choice to Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, you just sold me. I'm there. You sold me.
So, yeah, we're going to post that question up on... We did, right?
Yeah,
we posted it on our page. Yeah. So we're going to post it up again after you guys hear this episode. So you guys give us your suggestions on who do you think is the most powerful superhero on this planet or in space or in this universe.
He was talking about everything. Even manga. I mean, I don't watch manga, so I couldn't even get anybody from there. Mm-hmm. So I'm like stuck to, Hulk.
Well, I mean, you know, I couldn't even answer the question. So, I mean, don't even feel bad. Don't even worry about it.
What you guys got next?
All right. Well, we're actually going to do a movie review. Well, it's a movie review for the movie.
The trailer.
The trailer for Superman, Man of Steel.
Are we going to play it?
We are going to play it.
Hold on. Okay.
Sorry. Yeah. So this movie is actually coming out this year. It's supposed to relaunch the suggested Justice League film in 2015. Not a big fan of that idea, but I'm a huge fan of this film. It's directed by...
Did you hear... did you read up on the Justice League?
That they're in trouble?
Yeah, the script, the something that it wasn't... That it was, like, no good at all.
Told you.
So they were considering, like, just scrapping the whole thing. No, they got to get a good writer. That's what they got
to
do.
No, they just need to start over and
it
wait.
It can be done.
They just got to get good people to work with. They can't get the...
They got to fork out the money.
Told you it's too soon to bring a new Batman in.
This is true. All right, I have to agree with that.
We're going to play the trailer for you, so you guys, I'm going to post it on our page and give it a watch and tell us what you think.
All right, hold up, Ben.
Too big, Mom.
Then make it small. Focus on my voice. Pretend it's an island out in the ocean. Can you see it?
I see it.
My son was in the bus. He saw what Clark did.
You have to keep this side of yourself a secret.
What was I supposed to do? Just let him die?
Maybe.
I have so many questions. Where do I come from?
Have to decide what kind of man you want to grow up to be, Clark. Whoever that man is, he's going to change the world.
Freaking awesome.
I have to say, guys, every time I see this trailer, it brings tears to my eyes.
Dude, right? Because, like, the music and, you know, just that whole, what was I supposed to do?
You know, for me, it's when the mom is talking to the little boy, at Superman, as a child. And, you know, she has to guide him through these things, these changes he's going through. And they have no idea what to do. And, you know, as a parent, which I'm not, but I see it with my nephew. The worst thing that could happen is for your child to be in some sort of pain and you can't stop it.
Right.
And so for me, that just really gets me, you know, and the way she's like, just imagine the world as an island in the middle of the ocean. And it's just, it's so heartbreaking. And the music.
Yeah.
The music.
Oh, yeah. The music. Like, it's, for me, it's like when he kneels down and the floor starts to shake. And he takes off with the music. It's like fucking nothing.
Who does the music, sir?
Lisa Gerrard from The Dead Can Dance. Right, of course, all the gothic people.
Ben, have you seen this trailer? Have you seen that Superman Man of Steel trailer?
Oh, it looks so good, doesn't it?
It does, man. It's great.
I was so happy that Zack Snyder was doing that, man. I was so happy that he was doing that.
Zack Snyder also did Dawn of the Dead, right? And
Watchmen,
and he also 300. Did 300.
Yeah,
he's good at what he does.
No, I know. So I'm very psyched for this film.
Midnight Show, everyone.
Midnight Show.
Yeah, man. It's actually like, it actually touches it. I know this might be a little touchy subject, but it's kind of like a Jesus story.
Yes, like how Jesus, I got that feeling.
Like Jesus, you know how, you know, like Jesus is told he's the Son of God.
Right.
And he has all these abilities and that he has to die for our sins. And it's kind of like same thing with Clark. It's like you have all these abilities. You have to help people. And he's like, but why? But I want to live my life. And he's like, but you know, you can't. You got to hide.
With great power comes great responsibility. Right,
exactly.
By the way, that's Spider-Man.
No, but it's the truth. It applies to all heroes, because if you have these abilities, you kind of have not an obligation, but to do good for humankind.
And another thing that I really liked about this trailer, and that I'm sure is going to be a real prominent subject within the movie, is that you can't save everyone. And when he told him, should I have let him die? And then the dad turns around and is like, maybe.
Right.
Because you have to protect yourself because of the greater good.
Right. Very true.
So I'm really impressed. I'm liking the score. The imagery is amazing. And the actor's freaking hot.
Oh, was it Henry Cavill?
Awesome.
How do you say his last name? Cavill or?
No, Cavill. Cavill.
I don't care. Cavill? He looks good without a shirt.
There's no N in it.
Oh, is that? Is Cavill?
I don't know.
That was Cavill.
There's no N in his name.
Oh, it's Cavill. Sorry. My bad. I'm sorry. Yeah, but isn't he British?
No, I think is he? Or yeah, no, yeah, he is. He is.
So they're like a British Superman. But it's kind of cool because...
Well, they asked him about, how would he feel with, an American 007.
Yeah, all right, exactly. True.
Yeah.
How would you feel, Ben?
About what?
An American 007.
Well, that's Jason Bourne, isn't it?
Yeah,
but I'm saying, like, if you were putting an American actor playing James Bond.
Oh, right. Well, that's the thing, man. Us British people are taking over your business now in Hollywood.
That's true, though.
Yeah, true.
We're just better actors.
Nice. Well, what did you think of the trailer, Ben?
I loved it. When I was like, because the thing is, I really like the originals as well with Christopher Reeve, and I've just started rewatching them. And they're so fucking corny, but they're really good.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I really like them. But I watched the most recent one that was made with Kevin Spacey in it as Lex Luthor. I didn't like that at all.
Yeah.
But I just think if you're doing something like Superman, you can't make it too polished, because that's the problem that they had with, I think they would have had with Batman if they did Batman that way. It needs to be gothic. It needs to be dark. It needs to be edgy. And with Superman, it doesn't necessarily need to be that polished. Like, you saw the guy there. He had like a beard and, he just looks like a normal sort of, farmer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Almost. Right. And, but he's Superman. Do you know what I mean? It just looks incredible. I think it's going to pull all the punches. That, the bad guy looks wicked at the end, whoever that is.
Oh,
that
that's cool.
General Zod?
General Zod, yeah.
Oh, cool.
They're pretty much
it's going to be awesome.
Right. They're pretty much doing
the first
Superman. No, second one.
They're doing the second one?
Second one. Well, second one was with General Zod.
Yes.
What was the first one?
First one was...
Well, I'm glad that Amy Adams is playing Lois Lane.
The first one was General Zod,
Yeah, the first one was General Zod.
No, number two was. Number two.
That's it.
Yes, it was.
Well, I'm just happy that, what was her name? That other Lois Lane, the one in the first Superman movie. Not the first one.
Oh,
like,
you mean
the one.
The one with Kevin Spacey?
The one with Kevin Spacey.
Oh, what's her name?
Kate Bosworth?
Kate Bosworth.
Oh, yeah. My God, dude.
Yeah.
She looked like a teenager to me. I'm sorry. You need to put a woman in that freaking spot. Like, Amy Adams, I've seen her in, romantic comedies, and I've seen her... do all that. But she's a really great actress, and she looks like a woman. So yeah, I'm ready to see that happen.
She's a redhead, though.
I don't care. Okay. She's better than the skinny, skinny
little...
Did you see
Perry White?
He's black?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. No, but yeah, just to make a point, it is part two. General Zod was part two.
So what was the General One? What was the Superman One?
When he
presented himself to Lois Lane. This one, Lois died. Lois died, and he went around the world to... Spin it back.
That's okay. Where I'm got the whole.
I gotta look at those movies again.
Yeah, you gotta watch them. Yeah, they're really a treat. I really enjoyed it.
I did kind of enjoy Superman Returns.
I cried when he came back.
That was the only scene that throughout the whole movie that I liked. I didn't like all that emotional, he has a kid. he came back. I just like that whole scene where the plane is going down, and Superman first appears. Like, this is the first time in years you see him come back.
Yeah,
and he's like, and the music. See, this is what gets me. It was John Williams' music, and everybody can attest to that. That is the Superman theme song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the dun, 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 right, dun, right. Dun, 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 that It just is Superman. So when that was playing in the background, you're just like, yeah. It gave you like this like emotional, like, oh, like he's back and he's, you know, doing the powers, you know.
Yeah, so no, it was badass. I gotta
but say, that was the only part of the movie that I liked. Everything else was just
that was whack. An epic scene, and yes, I did also so, cry during that scene.
So with this one, I'm just like hoping, like, what are they going to do with this theme? You know, and theme is everything to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, because that is a signature yeah. of this character.
So they better not get him some weird intro.
No,
music.
I am sure. I hope. That, I hope I'm sure it's tied in. It has to be. There has to be some kind of contract out there that ties the music into this character in any movie ever made right. after that.
Even the actor said himself, it's not going to be too dark. It's just you just finally get to see Superman kick some ass instead of lifting a goddamn island. You know,
okay,
or fighting Lex Luthor, who really isn't a major villain in any of the films. Like he wasn't like a threat, right. just because he had kryptonite. Now then again, there you go.
With the kryptonite,
you give anybody kryptonite, yeah. he's a goddamn
you go to
threat.
Kmart and pick up some kryptonite.
Let's go pick up some kryptonite at Kmart.
Yeah, no kidding.
12-pack of kryptonite.
A 12-pack of kryptonite. Yeah, but I'm definitely looking forward to this, and I hope that he becomes like the front runner for future Justice League-ish films.
Right.
And they said that they had hired him to do more films, but
it's still up in the air, huh?
It's still up in the air now, obviously, because now they're in trouble. And, of course, everybody knows it's not a good idea for now.
Well, I mean, if the Superman movie does good, I'm sure they'll keep at it with Superman.
Yeah, I think if they get that, then they'll be fine.
The thing with these things is that, you know, if there are too many cooks in the kitchen, it's not going to work.
Very
it's
true.
Sort of like that soccer team where they put all the good soccer players together and they did really badly because everybody had their own ego. It's the same thing here. You cannot put
Mexico?
Too much. No, this was some years ago.
Oh, okay.
But you can't do that. You can't, you know, like there's so much talent out there, but if you just mix the wrong people, it's just not going to work. So hopefully they can get their act together because I want to see a DC film that's good. Damn it.
I know. All right,
kids.
So I'm going to give a shout out to all our
supporters.
All our supporters. to the Fanny Pack of Justice. That's it. To Zombie Cast and Academy of
The Apocalypse.
Right. Sorry. Because you opened the door. I'm sorry. Got me off guard.
Ben, you got any last input you want
to
get in there?
I just want to say thanks to all you guys, man. It's been awesome sitting and listening to you. Because literally, I've said nothing, but I've loved it.
Dude, once you get into the groove, man, you'll be, like I said, you'll be the student will become the master.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
I hope so.
It's cool. I'm glad that I'm meeting more comic book people too. So
absolutely. Awesome. I mean, I went to eat the other day, and I was reading Sweet Tooth, and people were looking at me like, "Is she reading cartoons?" Yes, I am. Damn it, they're called comic books.
I'm reading a cartoon and what?
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
You could be reading 50 Shades of Grey. You don't want to be caught reading that.
Yeah, no kidding. I read that in the comfort of my own bedroom.
Yeah, don't read that in public. No.
Yeah, well, hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. You know, shout out to all the other podcasts out there. And we'll be back in a month with a whole new review.
Yes.
We got Ivan.
You got Sarah.
You got Eric. And you got...
Ben.
The limey one. The limey.
All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys.